No. জয় ওম বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংস পরিব্রাজ আচার্য অষ্টাদশ সরস্বত শ্রী শ্রীমদ অভয় চরণারবিন্দ ভক্তি বেদান্ত স্বামী প্রভুপাদ কি জয়। ইসকন ফাউন্ডারাচার্য হিজ ডিভাইন গ্রেস শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ কি জয়। অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণববৃন্দ কি জয়। নামাচার্য শিল হরিদাস ঠাকুর কি জয়। প্রেম সে কহ শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শিবাশাদি গৌর ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয়। শ্রী শ্রী রাধা কৃষ্ণ গোপগোপীনা শ্যাম কুন্দ রাধা কুন্দগিরি গোবর্ধন কি জয়। শ্রী বৃন্দাবন ধাম কি জয়। শ্রী মথুরা ধাম কি জয়। শ্রী জগন্নাথপুরী ধাম কি জয়। শ্রী মায়াপুর নবদ্বীপ ধাম কি জয়। গঙ্গা মাই কি জয়। যমুনা মাই কি জয়। ভক্তি দেবী কি জয়। তুলসী মহারানী কি জয়। হরিনাম সংকীর্তন কি জয়। সমবেত ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয়। গৌর প্রেমানন্দে হরি হরি বল। অল গ্লোরি টু দ্য অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিজ। অল গ্লোরি টু দ্য অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিজ। অল গ্লোরি টু দ্য অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিজ। অল গ্লোরি টু শ্রী গুরু অ্যান্ড শ্রী গৌরাঙ্গ। অল গ্লোরি টু শ্রী নমো বিষ্ণুপদায় কৃষ্ণপৃষ্ঠায় ভূতলে শ্রীমতে ভক্তিবেদান্ত স্বামী নীতি নামিনে নমস্তে সরস্বতী দেবী গৌরবাণী প্রচারিণী নির্বিশেষ শূন্যবাদী পাশ্চাত্যাদি সুপারিণী শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ কি জয়। জননিবাস প্রভু এন্ড পঙ্কজাঙ্গুল প্রভু, ইউ হ্যাভ বিন ইনভাইটেড টু সিট ইন ইওর রেসপেক্টিভ আসনস। আই হ্যাভন্ট মেট ইউ বিফোর। I see. You're Prabhupada disciple. Yeah. Huh? Wonderful. Yeah. I'm very happy to meet you. When did you come to Mayapur? I see. Oh, you're right. Happy to see you back in Mayapur, aren't you? Oh, I see. Wonderful. Will you be here now?
Yes.
You'll settle down here.
Yes.
Wonderful. You were in Alachya before.
I was in Alachya
for 15
years.
Oh, wonderful. You joined in Miami. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Oh. Are you comfortably situated in Miami?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a Dhambasi already. We're happy to have you back here, don't you? Let me also introduce this Bhakta Mark from Vancouver, Canada. Mark just came today. He'll be here for a while, for about a month and a half. Yeah, almost a month and a half he'll be around here. And this is the first time in India. I must have been quite shocked. I was hearing about your reactions after you arrived. Arikamala? Arikamala? মালা কোথায়? আরেকটু দেখ, এটা সাদা মালা আমি দেখছিলাম একটা পদ্ম ফুলে, ওটা কোথায়? আচ্ছা ঠিক আছে, তাহলে এই মালাটাও নাকি also, what's your name, Prabhu? And you, when did you come to Maya? You from?
Finland.
Finland. And when did you join there? So how the class is conducted? Do you have it every evening or once every week?
Monday
to Friday. Oh, every day for 5 days a week. And up to which part you read? Who gave the last class? Janadivas Prabhu. And so Janivas Prabhu, do you remember? Up to page 68-69 is the Maharshi. Maybe you can show me. Up to here? Yeah, okay. I'd also like to introduce another devotee, that is Bhakta Rakesh. He's from Calcutta. Bhakta Rakesh is very much involved in our Calcutta temple. He's helping in a very nice way. He's a very big company executive working in Calcutta. And at the same time, he finds time to help our affairs in the temple. And Rakesh is aspiring to take initiation from His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And Rakesh has been involved with ISKCON since 1993 actually. And another very wonderful devotee here, who is also visiting Mayapur after a long time, is Kishore Krishnadas. He was a Mayapur devotee, but now he has become Alachua devotee. Kishore, are you coming to Mayapur after how many years?
9 years.
After 9 years? You're coming to India after 9 years? Wow. It seems that you really fell in love with America. So, I'll read from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, chapter 6. The Krishna consciousness movement was now big, with potential for growing much bigger. Light, I think it is. Is there more light? Light, switch on the light. Yeah, better. The Krishna consciousness movement was now big, with potential for growing much bigger. And within ISKCON, Prabhupada's will was so powerful that a single letter from him could establish a policy for years to come. Prabhupada appeared to be sitting quietly in his room at the manor, Following his daily routine of bathing, eating and meeting evening guests, yet at the same time he was directing thousands of young men and women all over the world and sending them into action in the war against Maya. There is no objection to going in Western, these are quotes from Srila Prabhupada, quotations from Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada's letters, Prabhupada's writings. There is no objection to going in Western clothes in order to distribute my books. It is not necessary that we always wear the robes, but we should always keep sikha and tilak. However, a wig or a hat may be worn as you describe. We have to take whatever is the favorable position of executing Krishna consciousness. Do not forget our principles, that sometimes we may adopt such means in order to distribute books. Somehow or other, distribute books, and if you can impress people a little to chant, then it does not matter about your dress. The devotees continue to request clarification as to how far the ends justify the means in fulfilling Prabhupada's order to distribute books profusely. Srila Prabhupada, being free of all material motivations, could clearly see the Krishna conscious things to do. Regarding the question you have, this is Prabhupada's quotation, regarding the question you have raised about traveling Sankirtan parties and selling of books, yes, we want money. So that is the real preaching, selling books. Who can speak better than the books? At least whoever buys, he will look over. The real preaching is selling books. You should know the tactic, how to sell without hesitating. What your lecturer will do for 3 minutes, but if he reads one page, his life may be turned. We don't want to irritate anyone. However, if he goes away by your aggressive tactics, then you are nonsense and it is your failure. Neither you could sell a book, neither he would remain. But if he buys a book, that is the real successful preaching. That is the certificate of my Guru Maharaj. If someone, brahmachari, would sell 1 paisa magazine, if one of our brahmacharis would go and sell a few copies, he would be very, very glad and say, "Oh, you are so nice." So the distribution of literature is our real preaching. Now, if you cannot handle the matter nicely, that is your fault. But the success of your preaching will be substantiated by how many books are sold. Anything you want to sell, you have to canvass a little. So he gives some money for the service of Krishna. That is his good luck, and he gets the chance to read some transcendental knowledge. But if you only irritate and he goes away, that is your less intelligence. Sorry. Prabhupada's instructions were so important to his disciples that a letter from him was as effective as a personal visit. By such letters, he maintained the lives and affairs of his disciples all over the world. Each day, in the late morning, he would have his secretary read aloud each incoming letter, and usually he would dictate the answer without delay. He had often said that the vani or order of the guru was more important than the vapu or personal presence. Thus, by his letters, he established and illuminated the path of Krishna consciousness for his sincere followers. In America now, Prabhupada's preaching was primarily through the distribution of his books, whereas in India it was through establishing temples. Yet both methods were one and the same to him. And although His vision encompassed the whole world. He felt and described himself as only the humble servant of his spiritual master. Without sitting peacefully on the lawn of his manor and teasing one of the little children or directing one of his lieutenants to drop thousands and millions of books into the laps of the conditioned souls, whether meditating with great energy on the next phrase of his Srimad Bhagavatam purports or worrying about what Mrs. Nair was conspiring in Bombay, he always tried to serve his Guru Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada received an emergency phone call from Bombay. Giriraj wanted him to come and personally settle with Mrs. Nair the purchase of Juhu land. Giriraj has consulted a new lawyer, Mr. Vakil, and felt that Prabhupada must be present for their to be a settlement. Another Eastern lawyer, Mr. Chandawala, also advised that Srila Prabhupada came immediately to Bombay. Giriraj therefore had telephoned Prabhupada begging him to please come and settle the matter with Mrs. Nair once and for all. Prabhupada agreed. Then he would return to Bombay. August 21st. Mr. M. Rajgotra, the Indian ambassador to England, attended the Janmashtami Day celebration and introduced Srila Prabhupada, expressing his appreciation of Prabhupada's great work. Prabhupada spoke, describing the event of Krishna as the key to peace for the troubled material world. Especially in India, he says, we have got so much asset for understanding God. Everything is there, ready-made. But we won't accept. So what is the remedy for such disease? We are searching after peace, but we won't accept anything which is actually giving us peace. This is our disease. So the Krishna consciousness movement is trying to awaken the dormant Krishna consciousness in everyone's heart. Otherwise, how could these Europeans and Americans and other countrymen who had never even heard of Krishna 4 or 5 years ago be taking to Krishna consciousness so seriously? Therefore, Krishna consciousness is there in everyone's heart. Prabhupada recited prayers from Brahma Samhita, describing the sublime eternal existence of Krishna on his eternal planet, Krishna Loka. But Krishna is always everywhere, he explained. And if you are a devotee, then you can catch him. If you want to catch him, he comes forward 10 times more than you desire. Therefore, we simply have to receive him. This deity worship in the temple means worshipping Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has very kindly accepted to assume a form which you can handle. Therefore, do not think that we have installed a marble statue. The rascals will say they are heathens. No, we are worshipping Krishna personally. Krishna has kindly assumed this form because we cannot see the gigantic Krishna or how Krishna is everywhere. Remain 24 hours a day in Krishna's service. This is the purpose of installing the deity. So this was the year 1973. By the time Krishna consciousness movement has been quite nicely established in the West. If we see the chronological development, then we can see that Srila Prabhupada went to America in 1965 till the end of 1965, 17 September. And at that time Prabhupada didn't know where he would go, where he would stay. He didn't even know what he would eat. He didn't even know whether he would have proper edible foodstuff available in America. He didn't have any money, he didn't have any support. In total uncertainty, Srila Prabhupada started the movement. And practically for 1 year was a terrible struggle for Srila Prabhupada. The first one month more or less, Srila Prabhupada stayed in Butler, Pennsylvania, in the house of Gopal Agarwal. Now we can consider such an awkward situation also. That's the only person Srila Prabhupada actually knew at that time when he went to America, Gopal Agarwal. And he also didn't know him. He knew his father. And his father asked Gopal to give him a sponsorship letter. And when Gopal gave that sponsorship letter, he didn't have the slightest idea that Prabhupada would just end up in his house. And Gopal also is a nice person. On his father's request, when Srila Prabhupada arrived in New York, Gopal arranged for Prabhupada to come to his house. He had a travel agency to organize Srila Prabhupada, receiving Srila Prabhupada and putting him in a Greyhound bus to Butler. And the thing is, like when Prabhupada went there, these people were not devotees. Gopal was married to one American girl, Sally Agarwal. And obviously, they were not vegetarians. They were fairly... But Gopal knew the standards, so he at least had some new utensils for Srila Prabhupada to cook. And Prabhupada used to cook. And they became very fond of Srila Prabhupada's cooking. Although in the beginning, Sally didn't know how to relate to Srila Prabhupada, but gradually she became very fond of Srila Prabhupada. And that's the attractive nature of Srila Prabhupada. Like whoever came in contact with Srila Prabhupada became immediately attractive. Even though they may have been resentful at the beginning, like Sally, but eventually they become very, very attached to Srila Prabhupada. And not only the Agarwal family, the people in Butler, Pennsylvania also became attracted to Srila Prabhupada. It was a big thing in that small little place in America, Butler, where they never have seen any Indian sadhu. And so a sadhu came to an Indian spiritualist, came to Butler, Pennsylvania, and local newspaper ran an article with a picture of Srila Prabhupada on the front page that an Indian sadhu has come, Indian spiritualist has come to Butler. And then Prabhupada started to give some discourses. But Srila Prabhupada didn't go there just to have a easy, relaxed and comfortable situation in America. Prabhupada went there to establish Krishna consciousness all over the world. And that's where you find that soon Prabhupada decided to leave Butler and go to New York, because Prabhupada knew from Butler he couldn't start the movement. In order to start the movement he had to go to New York. So Prabhupada went to New York, and there was total uncertainty also. Like although Dr. Mishra, one of Prabhupada's acquaintances, he is a doctor turned a yogi. He was a physician, and not a physician, he had some sort of PhD in some subject, Dr. Mishra. But he became a kind of a spiritual leader. And he had his following, and he thought that it would be cool to invite Srila Prabhupada. But when he invited Srila Prabhupada, then he realized that it was a mistake, because his followers were becoming attracted to Srila Prabhupada more than him, more than to him. And so then politely at one point he asked Srila Prabhupada to move on. When he saw that Prabhupada was becoming more attractive to his followers, and so Prabhupada moved out into another apartment and then Prabhupada had to move out of there also, because those situations were only temporary. So Prabhupada was looking for his own place. Prabhupada knew that he'll have to set up his own establishment. And this is the thing about Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada was confident that if he started his own thing, it would flourish. And Prabhupada was confident about that. And that's why his concern was, somehow or other, just start the propagation of Krishna consciousness. And so Prabhupada was desperately looking for a place. And he moved in with a young boy called David Allen. And here we also have to remember that Mukunda Maharaj played a very, very significant role in the early days to establish Krishna consciousness and help Srila Prabhupada. Mukunda Maharaj, Michael Grant, met Srila Prabhupada in one of Dr. Mishra's meetings, one of Dr. Mishra's gatherings. And this is how Prabhupada got to know this young group, Michael Grant, David Allen. And one of Michael's friends actually was moving out of his loft in Bali, and he was moving to California. Those days in America, the youths were into the new culture, the positive alternative, the flower power, the freak culture, which is commonly known as hippie culture. So they were moving, many of them were actually moving to the West Coast, because San Francisco was the center for the hippies, and the Golden Gate Park was their final destination and the center of their activities. So anyway, this boy was moving out, and he already promised that he would give the loft to David Allen. And at that time, Prabhupada was looking for that place, and when they found out that Prabhupada was looking for a place, and that place was just available, so they convinced David Allen to share the apartment with Srila Prabhupada. It was not an apartment, it was just a studio, one big room with a kitchen and bathroom. Just one big, huge area. There was no separate rooms as such. They call it studio in the loft. And so Prabhupada moved in with David Allen, and David Allen was very much influenced by Srila Prabhupada. He became a vegetarian, he became a very nice follower of Srila Prabhupada. But eventually David Allen got back into his bad habits of taking drugs. And as he started to take drugs and go back to his old bad habit, his distance was from Srila Prabhupada was growing larger and larger. And he was becoming very disrespectful and offensive to Srila Prabhupada. And eventually one day when he was tripping on LSD, he chased Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada left that house, and he called Mukunda Maharaj. He called Michael Grant. He was not Mukunda Maharaj at that time. It was Michael Grant. And Michael Grant came out and met Srila Prabhupada on the street and arranged accommodation with one of his friends. And Srila Prabhupada stayed there, and in the meantime they started to look for a proper place for Srila Prabhupada. And they found, they are the ones who found the 26th Second Avenue, the first ISKCON center in America, outside of India. So the first ISKCON center in this world actually. It is there in that 26th Second Avenue that Srila Prabhupada established registered ISKCON Society. And that was towards the end of 1966. And there, at the back of that storefront, in the same building, beyond the courtyard, there was a two-story building. No, there was a five-story, and on the second floor, Srila Prabhupada had an accommodation as an apartment, as an accommodation. So this is how Prabhupada started his Krishna consciousness movement in 1956. And it's from that point onwards, it's an incredible happening. Like Prabhupada set up 26th Second Avenue, New York has been established, and he assigned the responsibility to his newly initiated disciples, handful of new boys and girls, new boys mainly. And then Prabhupada decided to go to the West Coast. There also Mukunda Maharaj played another very significant role. It's Mukunda Maharaj who actually got, he went soon after initiation, he went to California. And there also he found another place right in the heart of Haight Ashbury area, which was the center of the hippie culture. In Haight Ashbury, he set up this another storefront. And just a few minutes walk from the Golden Gate Park. And Krishna consciousness movement started to spread. And you can see, like, in New York, a set of very special individuals came forward, and same thing happened in California also. In New York, the first group that came forward, in that group were, the first four individuals that actually came forward was Mukunda Maharaj, and then it was another group, and in that group were Hayagriva. He was the first one who met Srila Prabhupada on the street, and Prabhupada took him to the 26th Second Avenue, and then he brought his friends, and among his friends were Chaitananda Swami, Achyutananda, then Umapati Swami. The whole group actually became involved, and a whole lot of individuals started to get involved. And a similar kind of thing happened in the West Coast. Mukunda Maharaj's friends were Shamsundar, Guruda and Gurudas. And then in the Haight Ashbury area started to become involved. And then came Kamal Krishna Maharaj, Vishnujan. They were not exactly in Haight Ashbury area. They were actually living in a redwood, in the redwood forest, in the middle of nowhere. Samar Krishna Maharaj told me one that he was living in a tree. He was living in a tree, and he would not even eat any cooked food. He would just have the fruits that were available in that forest. And this is how the movement started. And then gradually we see how it starts to expand. Like soon after that, Shamsundar, Gurudas and Mukunda went to England. Now actually when we look at the progress of ISKCON movement, we see Mukunda Maharaj's contribution is actually incredible. I mean, we don't really register that. Because Mukunda Maharaj himself is such a humble person, he never pushes himself forward. He rather takes a very, very humble position in the back seat. But we see that he was instrumental in setting up the New York setup, setting up Srila Prabhupada in New York. He was instrumental in setting up Srila Prabhupada in San Francisco. Because he is the one who went to San Francisco and got this place and got his friends involved. And then he, along with Shamsundar and Gurudas and their wives, three grihasthas, six of them, three couples, goes to London and propagation or spreading of Krishna consciousness in London was actually the most dynamic phase of ISKCON. In America it was spreading, that was naturally remarkable. But when we notice how it spread in London, we see that in London, George Harrison gets involved. And when George Harrison got involved, the whole world recognized Krishna consciousness. And I remember in 1970, at that time I was in Hamburg, I was in Germany, and a friend of mine, Bill McCabe, he was an exchange student from Buffalo. No, I'm sorry, from Dayton, Ohio. And he goes back and he gives me this cassette of George Harrison singing Hare Krishna, My Sweet Lord. That was in 71. And so in this way we can see how this Krishna consciousness movement was. And although I met the devotees, although I saw the devotees in 70-71 in Hamburg and I visited the thing, but when I saw George Harrison singing My Sweet Lord, I mean that had a very, very different connotation altogether. And also it is quite noticeable that Bill comes back to Germany. He went for a summer vacation. When he comes back, and what gift he brings for me, just a record of George Harrison. Why he was impressed that George Harrison is singing the Indian chants. And and those days, we must remember, the Beatles were popular all over the world. The Beatles became popular in practically in early 60s. By the 70s, by the time Beatles were worshipped like gods. And so when George Harrison became involved in Krishna consciousness, I mean Krishna consciousness took another turn. Like we can see that George Harrison actually played a very, very significant role. Very significant role in establishing Krishna consciousness, or helping Srila Prabhupada establish Krishna consciousness. Now as I was saying, like Prabhupada started the movement in 1966 by establishing, registering ISKCON society. But within the short span of 6 years, ISKCON is established all over the world. 1973, the movement spread practically all over the world. So we can well imagine with a velocity this movement was spreading at that time. Can you imagine 6 years' time and starting from the scratch in a small little storefront, practically with no following? In 6 years' time, the movement spread practically all over the world. It's an incredible achievement. That reminds me of Shivram Maharaj's offering, that's who you're offering this year. How many of you read this offering? Shivram Maharaj's offering? Okay, I'll just, it's a beautiful offering. When you get an opportunity, please read that. Don't we have the Vasudeva book here? We have. The regular Vasudeva book. Don't keep that book there like that. Just keep it respectfully. They brought it to show it to me. Anyway, so Shiva Maharaj is actually narrating one incident that when they were struggling to keep Bhaktivedanta Manor open, in England they were trying to close the manor down because the local council, they saw that our society was not properly registered, so they wanted to close it down. And at least they are forcing us to move out of that place. And it was a big struggle to keep Bhaktivedanta Manor open. And at that time, Shivram Maharaj had to meet the Queen's, one of the members of the Queen's Council. in England, the Queen Elizabeth, had a council, you can say a very close advisory committee, like you can say the minister or like personal advisors. So one of the Queen's council members, when Shivra Maharaj went to meet with him, he already read about, they gave him the books of Srila Prabhupada and about Srila Prabhupada before they went to meet Srila Prabhupada, before they went to meet that person. So when Shivra Maharaj and few other devotees went to meet him, the person, he must be a very important person, I forgot his name, actually to be in the Queen's Council, you have to be one of the top notches, one of the most important and one of the most respected persons in England. And because they are, the cream of the society is put into that council. So this person he told Shiva Maharaj that what your spiritual master has done is a miracle. Then Shiva Maharaj said, "Yes, I know." But that person said, "No, you don't know." So he said, "You don't know because you are a young man," and he was 70. So Shivra Maharaj is narrating that, I know my spiritual master better than him. Like, I know his achievements, I know what Srila Prabhupada has done, he doesn't have to tell me what Srila Prabhupada has done and who Srila Prabhupada is. But, he didn't say anything, but inwardly he was thinking that way. And he said that yes, I know. But that person said, "No, you don't know." And then he explained, "You don't know because you are a young man." But he was 70 years old when he started the movement. So Shiva Maharaj also felt that, "Yes, I know that Prabhupada went to America at the age of 70." And so he said, "Yes, I know." He said, "No, you don't know." And then he started to explain that it is impossible for a young man to understand what it is to be 70 years old. Unless you yourself are 70, you do not know what it means to be 70 years old. And that's the point he was making, because he was an old man. And he says at the age of 70 he started the movement. And the way he spread it all over the world is an incredible achievement. It's an impossible thing to do. And it's so true. Like, we can't really figure out, we can't properly understand what Srila Prabhupada has done, what Srila Prabhupada has achieved. I'm seeing it myself. I'm 59 now. And I'm realizing I'm old. I'm getting old. I get a little fever, I travel a little bit, and then I become sick and I can't travel. Doctor tells me that if you shouldn't travel and I stay at one place for 3 months. And I'm only 59, not even 60 as yet. And Srila Prabhupada started the movement when he was 70 years old. And look what Srila Prabhupada did. He not only established the movement, he translated so many volumes of books. He traveled, he counseled, he advised, he preached, and at the same time he translated books, all these books, and at the same time he replied hundreds and hundreds of thousands of letters. We can't really properly conceive of what Srila Prabhupada has done. And another way I see it is that we are too close to Srila Prabhupada to properly recognize his greatness. Because when someone is too great, people around him can't really see his greatness, because he's too big for them to register his greatness. Like, have you been very close to a very tall mountain? When you're very close, you can't really make out how tall that mountain is. Isn't it? But you may see it is very big, but then when you move in time, then some small mountain comes, small hill comes in front of you, then that mountain becomes obscured. Right? So, similar thing is happening with Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada was here, we did recognize Srila Prabhupada's greatness. At least we could see how great Srila Prabhupada is. But after Srila Prabhupada left this planet, and we started to move away from Srila Prabhupada, we are seeing some tiny little figures come in front of us and obscure our vision of Srila Prabhupada. Doesn't it happen? It's happening all over. Srila Prabhupada's greatness so often is becoming obscure. But then what will happen? As we move away from Srila Prabhupada, we on time, as we move away, then we will see. When you move away a little bit, then you will see, it was only a tiny little hill. Not even a hill, it was just a molehill, just an ant hill. Right? But it obscured our vision of Srila Prabhupada. Then you move away further and further and further. Then when you go to a considerable distance, then you see which is the tallest mountain. Right? So it's only a matter of time. I think the world needs to move away from Srila Prabhupada considerably in order to recognize the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. And it's amazing, like, how some individuals are recognizing Srila Prabhupada's greatness. While so often we, who are actually Srila Prabhupada's followers, we fail to recognize his greatness. And our spiritual success will lie in our recognizing his greatness. It may sound arrogant or even sentimental, but I will make that point. That a time will come when personalities like Jesus Christ, Muhammad, Buddha will become totally insignificant in front of Srila Prabhupada. Like, what is their contribution? Like, let's consider on the spiritual realm, what is the contribution of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ was worshipped all over the world. Obviously, he was a very great personality, great spiritual personality, no doubt about it. He spoke about God and he sacrificed himself for the sake of spreading God consciousness. But when we go to the depth of it, how much understanding of God did Jesus Christ give? And in that light, you see what Srila Prabhupada did. Jesus spoke about God the Father, right? But who he is, no information. But when you come to Srila Prabhupada and his writings, the understanding is absolutely clear, crystal clear, who that God the Father is. And that is why I'm saying that all these individuals will become very, very insignificant in due course of time in front of Srila Prabhupada. And it's obvious that Krishna consciousness movement is going to spread. It is going to be recognized all over the world, and it will be practiced everywhere in every town and village. Bhakti Vinod Thakur made it more emphatic. He said that all the religions of the world will come under the banner of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. That means, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement means Krishna consciousness movement. And today I will say, Krishna consciousness movement means ISKCON. Krishna consciousness movement means ISKCON. Bhakti Vinod Thakur revived Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. Mahaprabhu's movement was lost. Eventually Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement was lost. And then came all these upper sampradayas completely obscured Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, Mahaprabhu's teachings were completely lost. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur started the revival work of it, started to revive Mahaprabhu's teaching. And then came Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he gave a definite structure of that movement. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave the blueprints that how this movement must be established. And the blueprint was Namhat. And based on the blueprint of Namhat, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur created his Gauriya Math. But unfortunately, Gauriya Math, although was extremely successful all over India during Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time, but soon after his disappearance, it just disintegrated. It fell apart. And then Srila Prabhupada actually revived Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's spirit of Krishna consciousness movement from the ruins of Gauriya Math and established ISKCON. So it is, the ISKCON is the mainstream of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. And it is going to spread all over the, it has already spread all over the world, but after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance there is some setback, but it will pick up. It's actually getting better and better, and it will become established, and Krishna consciousness movement is going to spread, and people all over the world will recognize this movement. And therefore Srila Prabhupada so systematically arranged his books, as Prabhupada mentioned here. How much Krishna consciousness philosophy you can give in 3 minutes? How can you convince, a person in 3 minutes about Krishna consciousness? But let a person take the book and open any page and read that page. 3 minutes, he'll be convinced about the movement, provided he is receptive enough. So these books are extremely powerful. And Srila Prabhupada made the perfect arrangement for the propagation of Krishna consciousness movement. Srila Prabhupada gave the books. For the successful cultivation of Krishna consciousness of the individuals who will come forward, Srila Prabhupada gave the institution ISKCON. And these are the two most important arrangements that Srila Prabhupada made, the books and ISKCON. And for the proper functioning of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada gave a perfect management structure, the governed collective management, not any individual becoming the head of the institution. He gave a collective structure of management through the GBC. And the temples are the units where the temple president for the head of the unit, head of the temple. The perfect system of management. And now, we simply have to fit in that structure, not create any disturbance. If we want to become a loyal follower of Srila Prabhupada, we must come to serve Srila Prabhupada, not take advantage of this movement, but come to serve this movement. The trouble starts when we try to establish our a proprietorship over the movement and claim that this belongs to us. We have our right and try to exploit this movement for our own personal motivation. We should be very careful about that. That we must try to serve, not exploit. And when we all try to serve this movement, after all, we all have come here to serve. This movement is the movement of servants. International Society for Krishna Consciousness means the movement, the International Society for Krishna Devotees. And who are the devotees? The devotees are the servants of the servants of the servants.
And when you come with a servant service attitude, then everything will be perfectly harmonized. The discord starts when we don't properly cultivate and display that attitude. Therefore, let's try to become true servants of Srila Prabhupada by becoming the servant of the servants of the devotees of Vishnu. We must always remember that we haven't come here to become big leaders. We all have come here to become the humble followers of Srila Prabhupada. So I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question or comment? Jananivas Prabhu, would you like to comment or give us your advice, give us your wise, share your wisdom with us?
Like late 70s we established, and he was saying that the people here, you know, they're so fallen, which, you know, it can be really difficult to give them Krishna consciousness now, and Kali Yuga is growing so difficult, you know, for them to expand and give people Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said, no, he said, because you took to it. It was presented to you and you took to it. So that means everybody can take to it. But it's the kind of thing we sometimes come in Krishna consciousness and then we actually know the situation of the world and we realize how bad it is, and then we think, well, who can take the Krishna consciousness? It's so difficult in Kali Yuga, how will they ever take the Krishna consciousness? But actually, Prabhupada said, no, you were the example, because you heard, you took it.
Yeah.
We sometimes get a little bit cloudy sometimes.
Yeah, if I could understand. Everybody
knows.
He's a fool like me can understand.
Then
everybody can understand.
Yeah. And we get the knowledge of, you know, how Krishna, the world is working, and the situation, and we think, oh, it's so difficult. How will they ever come to Krishna
consciousness? Thank you, Madhavan. It is very refreshing to hear, to be reminded again of Srila Prabhupada's greatness. What he said is actually true. What if those, you know, these great acharyas, what really did they do? I mean, what if they, I mean, who in Mexico did by following Christ or Buddha or the others? It's only like the personal acharyas that did it. I mean, what can you, I mean, the people just don't know. I was talking to some young boys yesterday from Medanipur. And this boy was actually questioning. He said, "I actually take the name of Krishna and Japa Mala." But he hadn't really read Srila Prabhupada's books. He bought just a couple of years. But he's completely bewildered by, you know, this local Mayavada philosophy person fellow. And he's glorifying him, but what have they done? I mean, no one's got back to the spiritual world by following these paths. They're all still here. So in the future we'll actually see, like you say, we'll see actual Prabhupada's greatness, what he did. And Prabhupada himself said that. We'll see how this movement changed the course of history in the future.
Okay. Thank you. Does anybody have any question or comment?
Yes.
Give me a mic. I will tell you some other things. Because it takes, I mean, once I start. Okay, briefly I will start.
Actually, I first met Srila Prabhupada in a dream. I was searching for a guru in 75, 76, and I got totally disappointed because, I mean, at least I could understand that these are not the people, those who can show me the way, right? Or these are not the people to whom I can surrender myself completely, with full confidence. And at that time, when I practically gave up all hopes, and I felt that if at all I have a guru, then let him come and pick me up. I tried to find my guru, but I couldn't find him. I was looking for him, I couldn't find him. So if I really have a guru, then let him come and pick me up. Thinking that I gave up my search. And it is around that time that I'm just going very brief, I mean cutting out many details. Around that time I got a nectar of devotion. And when I went home and started to read the book, from the very first page I realized that this is what I was looking for. And I became so excited and so engrossed that I fell asleep while reading the book. And in the morning when I woke up, the first thing I did was to start reading it again. And the next night, after practically reading the book the whole day, that night I had a dream. And in the dream I saw Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, to me, looked like he was sitting on a throne, because those days I didn't know what a vasasana was. Because in India, the sadhus generally sit in a very simple asana. So to me, it looked like Prabhupada was sitting on a throne like a king, and there was a brilliant light around him. And I had a profound feeling within my heart that I have found my spiritual master. He is my spiritual master. And I offered obeisances to him, and that was all. I didn't ask him anything, but my heart became filled with a profound joy that finally I found my spiritual master. And then I inquired where Srila Prabhupada was. And I was told that Prabhupada was in America at that time. And so in the meantime, I already made up my mind that I'll surrender myself to Srila Prabhupada. So I decided that I would, until Srila Prabhupada came back to India, I would visit the places where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes and Krishna performed his pastimes. And thinking that the first place I came to was Mayapur. I arrived in Mayapur in the evening, and it was such a wonderful atmosphere here, and everybody was so friendly and so inviting, and practically all of them, whoever I spoke to, those days Mayapur, there were not so many devotees. There were very few devotees, and most of them were actually Western Americans and Europeans. And everyone was asking me to stay. And I also thought, like, since I made up my mind to surrender myself to the movement, and since they are all inviting me, why didn't I join? And the next morning, I shaved my head, got my head shaved, took a dhoti and kurta, went to the Ganges, took a bath, threw away my old clothes, put on dhoti and kurta, and Jananivas Prabhu and Pankajangri Prabhu were there at that time. They were very kind to me. Jananivas Prabhu was very affectionate and very merciful to me. And then when Srila Prabhupada came, actually I met Srila Prabhupada in Allahabad during Kumbh Mela. Prabhupada was supposed to stay in Kumbh Mela for a certain length of time, but all of a sudden one morning Prabhupada decided to leave Kumbh Mela because the place was becoming very noisy. There were blaring loudspeakers, and so one morning we got to know that Prabhupada was leaving that day. And then those days, one of the Bhavananda Maharaj and Jayaprataka Maharaj was the co-directors of Mayapur, and Bhavananda Maharaj was in Kumbh Mela, so he was very kind to me, and he included me in that team that would travel with Srila Prabhupada to Calcutta. In Kumbh Mela, I used to go for darshan of Srila Prabhupada, but never spoke to him. I was just happy just to see Srila Prabhupada. And then, at some point, Bhavananda Maharaj told me that you also come with Srila Prabhupada to Calcutta. I was naturally excited because there were more than 300 devotees and just a handful of devotees, and that would mean all the big sannyasis and shijisis would be traveling with Srila Prabhupada, and I was included in that team. So anyway, the train started at night. You see, one whole carriage, first class carriage, was arranged for Srila Prabhupada, and it was hooked into a train that was going to Calcutta from Delhi and stopped in Allahabad on the way. And that carriage was booked for Prabhupada, and there were a few devotees, about 13-14 devotees traveling with Srila Prabhupada. So the train started at night, and soon after it started we all took rest. The next morning after taking my bath I was chanting, and then Bhavananda Maharaj came to me and said, come, I'll take you to Srila Prabhupada. Now all these days I was dying to meet Srila Prabhupada, to get close to Srila Prabhupada, speak to Srila Prabhupada. But when the final moment came, I felt totally unqualified, or I don't know what, I felt as if I was not, I won't be able to go to Srila Prabhupada. I felt totally, you know, unqualified. And he could probably understand my feelings. So he grabbed me by my hand and he dragged me through the corridor and opened the door of Srila Prabhupada's compartment and pushed me in. And I fell flat on the ground offering obeisances. So after offering obeisances, when I got up, I saw Prabhupada was looking at me, and Prabhupada asked me to sit next to him. You see, the first class compartments have two rows of seats facing each other. On the other seat there was Jayaprataka Maharaj, Bhavananda Maharaj and Rameshwar Maharaj. And Abhiram Prabhu, who was the temple president of Calcutta, he was sitting on the floor. And Prabhupada was sitting on the other seat. And so Prabhupada told him, sit down. I said, Prabhupada, I'll rather sit on the floor. Prabhupada said, no, you can sit. So when Prabhupada insisted, I sat. There was a blanket spread on the thing. So I folded the blanket and sat on the corner of the seat. And after some initial exchanges, Srila Prabhupada gave me the first instruction. First service, he said, you translate my books into Bengali. And that was such a wonderful service that it allowed me to come very close to Srila Prabhupada. Because every day I would translate, I would take it to Srila Prabhupada and read them out to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would correct me. So Prabhupada came to Calcutta, he stayed in Calcutta for 3 days, then he went to Bhubaneswar. And those 3 days in Calcutta were so wonderful that one evening, you see, many people came to see Srila Prabhupada. Every evening many people used to come to see Srila Prabhupada. And so when the arati started, in Calcutta you have seen, like Prabhupada's room was just next to the temple room. So when the arati started, Prabhupada told the guests to tell everyone to go to the arati. So everyone left Prabhupada's room and went to arati. I also went. But while standing in the arati, I thought, the arati I can attend every day, but Prabhupada's association will not be there every day. So I went back to Prabhupada's room. So when I went to Prabhupada's room, I was a little shocked to see that Srila Prabhupada was counting money. The donations that people gave, Srila Prabhupada put them in a sack and Prabhupada was counting. Because in India you grew up with an idea that the sadhus don't deal with money and so it was kind of, you know, like a kind of a shocking thing. But then I just brushed that thought aside, thinking whatever Srila Prabhupada does is perfect. So Prabhupada looked up and said, "What do you want?" So I said, "Prabhupada, I thought just to be near you, I thought of being near you." Prabhupada said, "You can sit down." Prabhupada kept on counting the money. And then Prabhupada opened the drawer and kept the money inside. Then he looked up to me and said, "So, what do you want?" So I just blurted out, saying, "Srila Prabhupada, would you please give me initiation?" Because I had a deep anxiety, because I heard that there are many devotees who had been waiting for 4 or 5 years and still didn't get initiation. And I thought, if Srila Prabhupada refuses to give me initiation, then what will happen? So that's where, with a pounding heart, I just told Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, would you please give me initiation?" Prabhupada said, "Sure, I'll give you initiation." He said, "During the Gaur Purnima festival, in Mayapur, I'll give you initiation." Then from Calcutta, Srila Prabhupada went to Bhubaneswar. He stayed in Bhubaneswar for about 2 weeks. I could have gone to Bhubaneswar at that time, but at that time I decided not to go but stay on in Calcutta, because I was printing a book. You see, I found some old writings of Srila Prabhupada from 48, 49 to 51 actually, in some Gaudiya Math magazine called Gaudiya Patrika. So I collected all those writings of Srila Prabhupada, and we are printing some books. First one called Bhagavane Katha, then Bhakti Katha, then Gyan Katha. So first one I was printing was Bhagavane Katha. It was just a 64-page book consisting of the articles that Srila Prabhupada wrote in the first batch of that. So I was printing that, so I thought that I would print that book and offer it to Srila Prabhupada when Prabhupada came back. And then when Srila Prabhupada came back to Mayapur, so one day Prabhupada called me and asked me to I was already translating, so I was speaking to Srila Prabhupada, reading out what I wrote, and Prabhupada was correcting me. So then Prabhupada gave me these Bengali letters to reply. There was a stack of Bengali letters. So when I replied those Bengali letters, then Prabhupada gave me a stack of Hindi letters. And he asked me to reply them. And then one day he told me that he was appointing me as his secretary for Indian affairs. And Kamakrishna Maharaj was proper secretary at that time. So he called Kamakrishna Maharaj and he told him that, and he told him to let me move into the room where Maharaj was also staying, in the Lotus Building, next to Prabhupada's room, the one after the thing where we were staying, Kamakrishna Maharaj and my phone. And since then it was with Prabhupada all the time, practically 24 hours with him. And I had the good fortune of being with his divine grace till the end, till he left his planets. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanandeni Hari.